Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Faith Church Peshtigo podcast. My name is Christoph, along with Jeff this morning.
Hey, good morning, Christoph. Good to see you, man.
It's good to see you. The Jeff and Christoph podcast.
Here we are.
Yeah. You know, we were just talking about Sunday morning, which is kind of what we do here on the podcast.
Yes.
But you were talking about announcements, which we had a number of announcements, a lot of announcements. But I was a little bit jarred at the beginning of announcements. Can I share why?
Yeah, please.
So I get up there.
I couldn't tell, by the way. You didn't
look jarred. I mean, that's good. Because I got up, and this was just a weird thing, is I look up, and usually I'm trying to, for people that don't know, it's kind of weird or kind of difficult because we have a wide room to like give everyone like look in the direction of everyone. And so it, like, I feel like I'm constantly on a swivel looking around. And so I started saying, you know, the good morning and welcome and all of that. And I'm looking around, and I looked at the far right section of the church. Every single seat was empty, which totally threw me off. Like, there wasn't a single one. The best part was, by the time I was done with announcements, totally full. Totally threw me off. But it's spring break for Peshtigo. And so I think we have a lot of Peshtigo families that sit over there, and they're gone enjoying spring break.
We do, actually, because I noticed that too. I was over there right before you did announcements, and there was one man sitting. I won't give his name, but yeah, he was sitting in that section by himself. So I went over to say hi, and I was thinking, this is funny. You have your own section. And then I was thinking about the families that typically sit there, because we're creatures of habit. And I'm like, yep, they're all on spring break. But you're right, it did fill in.
Yeah.
It filled in.
Well, the funny thing was, I was talking to a family then after church, and I won't say who they were. But they know. They're listening. They know. I was sharing with them just how weird that was. And they were like, oh, that's because we were like 20 minutes late. they were one of the families that sat on the other side. I was like, I didn't mean to shame you on that. But, but maybe if you set your clock a little bit sooner. But that's why we're doing the podcast this morning, is Jay is out on vacation, gallivanting around somewhere in the Midwest. I don't even remember where he is right now. But spring break with his family. But not only is it spring break, we can transition right away. This is a really important week for the church.
It is. Yeah, I mean, depending on your background, you might call this Holy Week.
Yeah.
Sometimes people call it Passion Week, right? It's Easter Week. It's all of the big culmination of Jesus's life and ministry into this week, right?
Yeah, and you got to kick it off on Sunday. We typically kick off what is known as Holy Week, or I'm actually reading, my family's going through a devotional right now. I found it last minute. Otherwise, I was going to send it out to families. It's called the Darkest Week. And then if you turn it over, the other side is the Brightest Week, and it actually has a week-long devotional afterwards. Really cool. Anyways, so that's really neat. But yeah, you got to kick it off with your sermon this past Sunday, which is typically known as Palm Sunday.
Yeah. And for me, as I prepared it and just dug into the passage, I mean, it's called the Triumphal Entry, the actual event in Jesus's life, and it has been, you know, it's become known as Palm Sunday. Just a real quick factoid, interesting to me at least, this is an event that is found in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that's actually pretty unique.
Yeah.
Normally, these events don't happen in all of them because they're written by different human authors with different intentions for what they're sharing. But this one does come in all of them. But John's is the only one that's very explicit about palm. They always talk about leafy, but they don't actually say palm.
Yeah.
So we read the John one, and I wanted to stay in John because that's where we've been with the I am statements, and that's where we will be on Friday together as well in John.
Yeah. I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this on Sunday, of just the fact, because you shared that with me earlier in the week, and then you didn't necessarily say it, and then later on we started our devotional as a family. We read through each one, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's recording of it. And it's not that we put emphasis on more scripture than other scripture. All scripture is scripture, right? It's all God breathed, everything like that. But that should, to us, you know, be an indicator of, well, there's something really important going on here. This is something maybe we should really take note of. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I mean, I think because it is like the unveiling. It's like his going public and allowing it, right? Because when you read the Gospels, you see these moments where people want to make him king, right? People are saying, you're the king. And then Jesus gets away.
He's like, not my time.
It's not ready yet. And now is finally time where he, you know, he chose that moment. He chose it. It wasn't like they just carried him in or something. It was like, no, he very intentionally went to Jerusalem during the Passover for that moment. And I think that all the gospel writers see that as really kicking off now the days until he's going to die on the cross. But also just the symbolism in that this was, you know, when he dies on the cross, he's the crucified king. He's the crucified Messiah. And you could see it on Sunday as we unpacked it, that the disciples did not understand. It's awesome, actually, that John gives us a commentary about what's going on. Really, the event itself on Sunday was like two or three sentences.
Right.
But then the rest is John, the gospel writer's commentary on and narration of what was going on. And he makes it really clear the disciples didn't get it until after Jesus was glorified. And I would say, just add that really no one understood except for Jesus what was happening. They didn't have imagination for why would he be dying and what would actually be happening to all of them if he died.
Yeah.
It's powerful. I think that's my answer. Did you have another idea too? Like why was it in all four?
I just think that it was, and I don't know if we planned this on purpose. I don't think we did, but I think just God's providence of weaving this all together is, maybe it was, but when Jay was planning out sermon series, I think it was back early last fall, he was like, we were talking, and I think we said I Am series. Like, oh yeah, that'd be great. And I don't think like part of the conversation was, oh, that would be an incredible lead up into Palm Sunday. But yet we just spent the last 8-9 weeks really zeroing in on this idea of it's who he is, not who we say he is, but who he declares he is.
Yes.
And then it's like the big capstone on that is his triumphal entry. Were you thinking about that when you wrote your message, that those two things would be so tied together?
I was. As I was studying the passage and really, you know, really letting it try to fill my mind and my imagination, I kept thinking, this is again a moment when, just like they did, they had to wrestle with, who is this man? This is not what we were expecting. We thought he'd be coming in on a war horse. He's on a goofy donkey.
Right.
What in the world? It's him again asserting, this is who I am. And then what I kept thinking is, it's an I am statement, but it's also more than that. It's like, this is what my kingdom is like. And then it was so clear, this is what power is. And this is what glory actually is. And that flips the human ideas of what that is upside down.
So what would you say then, besides saying it's a Prius, which, by the way, nice selection of a vehicle. That feels a little specific. But anyways, what was it you said, the general in a Prius? Oh, man.
Yeah, so like...
What is the message that's being sent then with that?
Yeah, I mean, that the tools or the instruments through which Jesus will accomplish what needs to be accomplished are not weapons of war. And that's what they assumed. They would have been, you know, we have the best weapons. We have the biggest army. We have the best generals, the greatest tactics and strategy, right? We will just rout Rome somehow. And they had attempted. There were rebels that you know, came before and after Jesus that attempted to do that. And it did not go well for them at all. Rome just decimated them. So Jesus, though, he is more powerful and he has capabilities at his disposal that human beings do not. All humans can do to enemies like that is resist them through, you know, not doing what they say and face the consequences, or try to rebel against them. And usually that meant war, right?
Yeah.
The war horse. So Jesus has more powerful means at his disposal, and he can go at evil at its actual source and not just the manifestations of evil that we experience in the world.
Yeah, that's incredible, right?
It is.
And I think that should be, I think practically then, for us as Christians, that should be a reminder of then what sort of power we draw from,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I am more and more convinced that when we try to, in our power, control things, right, the worst things get, and yet when we surrender and when we trust that God is going to work out what God is going to work out, there's something beautiful that then happens there. But oftentimes that requires sacrifice. Like that requires a level of sacrificing what we would want or what we would want to do, or it's just, and that's then where faith comes in, right? Like that's a huge component of it. I was struck by this week. I was sharing this with you a little bit earlier, but I was really struck by the fact that on social media, Christ is King is actually currently trending right now. And I thought, man, that is so true. But how is that actually, like, what is the implication for that in our lives? And so I would imagine it's kind of similar to, right, part of the reason why it's trending is because of Palm Sunday, this exactly what you preached on Sunday. But what is then the implication for our life then? If Christ is King, how then, to quote the famous book, how then shall we live?
Yeah, that's a great question. I really think that's what this week is about, is discovering what that means. I would just say one disclaimer. You know, when we hear that phrase, Christ is King, that can mean a number of different things for us. Some people are going to literally assume that that means, yeah, he's my king. I trust him. He's in my heart. Mm-hmm. And that is true. But if we stop there, we are not getting at the full, the radical nature of what that means that he is king. It is not just that he is the king in our heart. He is the literal king of the universe.
Yeah, yeah.
And right now, his reign is not being acknowledged by many,
right?
By many forces and by many people, which is, by the way, exactly what it was like for David, who Jesus is after David. But David's reign was also not acknowledged for a period of time.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening right now with Jesus. So he is actually literally king of the universe. And you can see this if you like go to the end of Matthew's gospel. So the resurrected Jesus giving us what we now call the Great Commission, he starts it with, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, which is like the king of everything, seen and unseen. So he has it right now. And so for us, I mean, I think that should give us joy. It should give us hope, because the one in charge of all things is Jesus. And as we get to know more and more who he is, especially on the tail end of those I am statements, that's the person in charge of everything. But it also should mean that we have a level of submission and obedience to that king, that his way is always going to be better than our way. And that's part of what it means to be a disciple, is that we learn through our lived experience that his ways are higher and better than ours.
Yeah.
And then we take them on. But yeah, I mean, that's what comes to mind. I mean, I think sorting through the, he's not just a spiritual king. And that to me is really important. He's not just the spiritual king. He is literally king.
And that's a strong statement given our current culture, right? Like in 2024, that is a strong statement. And it's a statement that oftentimes, I'd be careful, it gets twisted, right? Like it gets twisted to mean, well, I'm going to use God's words to try to influence and create a king, an earthly king, right? That is then going to kind of get what I want politically and culturally here, right? Not recognizing that it's God who's king, it's Christ who's king, right? And I think that there's a tension there. And I think, man, what an important message for us as we head into, you know, as Americans living in, as people living in the United States, I'm assuming most of the people listening to this are living in the United States and we're heading into an election season and all that, is to look at how Jesus, you know, brought in his triumphal entry, and to look at how he served his disciples, and looked at how he served his people, and go, that's the bar, right? That's he's the king. It's not even like it's a bar as in for us to reach, right? Jay says this all the time. It's a promise it's not a bar to be attained or to push after, but promises that are being kept. But that should be our paradigm for what a king looks like. If we're going to start thinking about earthly rulers, that should be the paradigm of, oh, that's what it looks like.
Yes.
So how does that influence the way we process just what's going on now, like, well, culturally?
I mean, by now people know, and if you don't know, the Lord's Prayer, God has used the Lord's Prayer, so Jesus' prayer that he gave us in Matthew 6, he has used that to transform my life radically.
Yeah.
And it's something that I pray daily, and sometimes I pray it like through it, you know, like a phrase at a time, and I add to it. And it affects the, so I would say the first reality that this really impacts for us, that Jesus is King, is it affects how we pray. And if we are in the habit of praying the Lord's Prayer or words like the Lord's Prayer, we're already in the habit of praying, our Father in heaven, your kingdom come,
yeah,
your will be done on earth as in heaven. And I think that that's what it does. It starts to shape our prayer life, which shapes our imagination and our desires. If we are actually slowing down and praying, your kingdom come, we have to be at the same time saying, not my kingdom come.
It's true.
And not any
true.
Other human beings,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So Jesus brilliantly gave us that such short, succinct prayer, but it encapsulates so much of his priorities for us and the priorities he lived with. And so I think that's what we keep praying. Not my kingdom come, not my country's kingdom come, your kingdom come, the gentle king's kingdom come. On yeah. earth as in heaven.
I love that because that is a posture of humble obedience, right? Which is like what it's about. It's a posture of humble obedience, not necessarily, okay, what do I go and do? What do I like? No, humble obedience, like humbly serve the Lord and as you are led, then go. But yeah, I think that's great. So we had a question. We were actually talking before we started the podcast, and I think this would be a great thing for us to explore for just a little bit, is that typically our stream of the faith doesn't necessarily look at these church calendar days. Now, that's something that we've been doing a little bit more, and so we've had some questions just about Palm Sunday. Like, why Palm Sunday? Like, why is this something that we celebrate? What is kind of the imagery? What is the importance for the church as a whole? And so I'd ask you, Jeff, this week is Holy Week, mm-hmm. right? A lot of our brothers and sisters across many denominations are observing this week, and they have certain practices for this week. My question for you would be, what does it look like for us to sit in Holy Week, and how can we be processing this week and thinking about it and incorporating maybe that into our daily lives of what this week means?
That's a great question. I mean, just as a reminder, so the church calendar, you use that phrase, and just in case people aren't familiar The church calendar is where we get holidays. So like Christmas, for example, and here we also celebrate Advent, the season that leads into Christmas. Advent is the new year.
Right.
And all the church calendar does every year is it tells the story of Jesus. It's all about him over and over and over again. And so right now we are at this really key moment in his life and ministry, this turning point. And that's why Palm Sunday is so important. It's the time where even if you just are reading through like the Gospel of John, like we've been doing with the I Am statements, you see all of a sudden you hit chapter 12 and things accelerate rapidly. Things change tremendously. His relation to the religious leaders who had opposed him becomes much more tense, much more pressurized. They're ready to kill him. If they could find him, they're going to kill him. And his relationship soon to Rome and those rulers there is going to be strained as well. So that's why I think Palm Sunday is so important. This week, I would encourage people, I'm saying this to myself as I say it, by the way, is just be in this week, meaning in the scriptures, keep reading from John 12 on and just keep walking through John in your own devotional life with your families, talking about the implications of these different days. So another one of the days, we don't celebrate this formally in our church, but this next Thursday, a couple days from now, is Maundy Thursday, when Jesus washed his disciples' feet. It's another great one. Just you could even read that at dinner and then talk about the implications that the person that we just said is the King of the universe chose to do the dirty job of washing his disciples' feet. And he didn't just do that. He actually commended it and envisions that his disciples will follow him in that practice. Not necessarily literally washing feet, but the idea of the humble service to each other. And I would say, you know, maybe even easier than that is join us on Friday. I mean, I love our Good Friday service is at 6:30 this Friday, 6:30 p.m.
Yep.
It is, I think it's become my favorite time of worship in our church for the entire year. I love it. And we read the story from John together, and we have this massive cross at the front of the room.
Yeah.
That's as life-size as we were aware of how to make it life-size. And we take the Lord's Supper together, and it is a powerful moment of just experiencing really the loss, you know, the death of Christ as we anticipate the resurrection of Christ then on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So I would say that to me, that's a really, an easy way for us, you know, part of our church to do that together is to be together on Good Friday, to be together on Easter, and to really enter into it as a community, as a family.
Yeah.
What would you add to that?
I think one of the things that's striking me as of late, so we are recording this on Tuesday, and I had shared about our family kind of going through a devotional, is just the letting scripture be more than just history, letting it be a reality, mm-hmm. and trying to just really imagine what it was like for Jesus to have these interactions. So you were mentioning his interaction with the religious leaders and with the Romans, and how that was becoming more and more strained. Last night, we were reading about his interactions with the Pharisees when they asked him about paying taxes, and we were talking about that with our kids, and we were just saying, you know, like they were really trying to trap him, like they were trying to get him to commit an offense that was going to lead him to being executed. And the way by which Jesus handles that interaction is just so beautiful. Like, it's so beautiful and so strong. He just, you know, render under Caesar's what is Caesar's and into God's what is God's. And I don't know if it's me getting a little bit older and maybe being a little bit more aware of the world, or if God is just working in me in a unique season this right now. But that being more of a reality, just imagining what it would be like to even have like a quarter and to hand that over, and that's really powerful to me. That was really powerful. And then we were also talking last night about the parable of the owner of the vineyard, and having the servants go and try to collect the money, and eventually he goes and sends his son, and his son is killed, and what that parable meant, and to talk about that with our kids, of just, you know, what is that about? What, like, it is so powerful. And so as we're in Holy Week, you were mentioning, I guess this is what made me think of that, and I guess what God's stirring in my heart is, you said the Good Friday service and the cross. And I remember the first time we had that cross in there for the Good Friday service, and walking into the great room and seeing it, and I was just like, it was difficult to put into words, because it's, if you've never been here for a Good Friday service, so maybe we have some people listening who just started coming to church in the past, you know, couple months or year. We have a cross that I think Tim put it together. He actually went out of his way to measure out what those actual dimensions would be, and find what all the, it's very humbling to look at what a life-size version of that cross would look like, and to imagine our Jesus up on that cross is really powerful. And I think we did it for the first time like 2 or 3 years ago. It really caught me off guard, because I don't think I've seen a cross like that in person. It was just really caught me off guard, and it became more real. It became more like a reality. And so I would just say, during Holy Week, as you are imagining this, and part of the power of following the church calendar is that it teaches us, it's a really beautiful teaching tool for us to live in, is to remember that this isn't just something that happened in a textbook. It isn't just something that happened in history. Like, this is reality. This is who Jesus is and was, and who the disciples were, and to feel the weight of that, to feel the weight of, you know, you talked about Thursday, the feet washing, to feel what the weight of that must have felt like for the apostles, to have their feet washed. Like, goodness gracious. We kind of look back on Peter's interaction with Jesus during that and go, like, how could you say that? And I'm like, that would probably be me too, you know? No, you can't wash my feet. And it's like, well, no, of course, like, you need to, I need to be washed completely by Jesus. So that's, I guess, what's kind of working in my heart.
You know, you made me think of something, you know, really practical, a discipline to try if you've never tried it. This is a great week to do it. Is a bit of a gospel meditation. And what I mean by that is to take one of these stories, like even the one we read from Sunday, Palm Sunday, or like Christoph was just talking about the washing, Jesus washing his disciples' feet, to take one of those stories and to do a very slow and imaginative reading of it, where you are actually trying to put yourself in the room or in the space and looking at Jesus's face, looking at the faces of the disciples and imagining what their expressions would have been when they say certain words. And, you know, we're guessing, right? We're not saying this is exactly how he had to look, but there's something about really slowing down and imagining it and using what God gave us. Sometimes we use our imaginations in a way that's not life-giving, but this is a life-giving way of imagining what is the tone of some of these statements. Knowing what we know about Jesus and what we've read and learned about him, even in the last few months, what does this sound like when he says these things? It's a really powerful thing. So I would commend that as well. These are stories that are easier to do that with because they end up being these human-to-human interactions. We just do our best with it, right? We don't have specific instructions on how to do this with each story, but yeah, we just imagine. You know, one other practice too, I didn't get to talk about this on Sunday because the sermon would have just gotten really lengthy. But one thing that happened that John describes is this crowd of people who saw that last sign Jesus did when he raised Lazarus from the dead. They are the reason that this crowd came out to meet him. So they must have gone into the city ahead of Jesus for Passover.
Right.
And they're telling people, you're not even gonna believe what we saw. This guy was dead for 4 days. Jesus calls him out and they literally are like, that's one to imagine, by the way. They're unwrapping his face. He has like burial cloths on his face, Lazarus does. And they can't stop talking about it because humans aren't capable of doing what Jesus did. That should not happen. And they keep witnessing over and over again about Jesus. And it actually says this in verse 17, like John 12:17. It says, the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. And I would just say for all of us that that is a word that we all need to hear this week, that we continue to bear witness both to the historical truths that we hold, like we believe Jesus really died on a Roman cross and that he really was raised from the dead afterwards. Yeah. But I would say even in addition to that, we bear witness to the things that he is doing in our life right now.
Yeah.
To how we experience him, the ways in which life is difficult and he comes with us through the difficulty, like not around the valley of the shadow of death, but through the valley of the shadow of death.
Yep.
How do we experience that? And those are the things that we share with each other because we need to hear it from each other. We need encouragement and reminder. But then we share it with people in our lives who we love. Not in weird ways, but just in conversation. Everyone in Marinette, Peshtigo, Menominee, we all know this is the week of Easter. Everyone knows that. But what would it be like to share, this is how I experience it. This is how I find it encouraging. This is what, even what might be difficult about it. I mean, there's going to be, all of us have different reactions. But anyways, I just want to say that, like, we continue to be these witnesses that are described here.
Yeah. Not just that. I'm gonna even, like, go a little bit of a step further and just say that, like, hey, if you're in Christ, you know, you've been raised to new life.
We have.
You have been, the burial cloths have been unwrapped from your face. And that part of that testament, part of that witness is the work that he's done in your life. And part, you know, people might know Easter, they might know in their heads about Jesus, but you get to be a witness of the work that, you know, Paul writes about in 2 Corinthians 5 when he says that if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, new things are to come. You are in a lot of ways Lazarus coming out of that tomb. You know, Jesus gave you new life. And we need to go and be a people who are testifying to that throughout the week. So I love that, Jeff. I think that that's an incredible, you say gospel meditation, of just a reminder of the work that God has done to you, but he isn't done, right? Because I know that, like, immediately there are some people who are going to hear that and they're going to, well, you don't know what I'm still struggling. You don't know what I struggled with this morning. You don't know. It's like, well, he's still doing that work and he's still working through you and he's still in the process of growing you and bringing, and making you look more like him. And so maybe that prayer then this week is, how has he made you more like him? And how can he, during this Holy Week, continue to make you look more like him?
Yeah, I agree. And those, you know, if that's how you describe someone feeling this morning, just off, right?
Right.
Things aren't well, that's all part of it. Like, that's not accidental either. Just like his entry into Jerusalem and the timing of that wasn't accidental. Feeling that on Tuesday morning of this week is not accidental. Mm-hmm. He is in charge of that. And that's where I think we need to submit, right? Like, that's part of being in this week, for me at least, for my personality, is I submit. And I say that this week is about this topic. And I'm going to keep submitting to that, even when my mind wants to go to these other topics and other things that are more important in my mind in that moment, right?
Yeah.
I will say, you know what? No, this week is about Jesus's march and then eventually to the cross and then his victory over sin and evil and death and in the resurrection. That's what this is about.
Amen.
And to me, it's an amazing gift that we get. And it's why we worship, by the way, even on Sundays, right? I mean, still, when this just happened, the entry into Jerusalem, worship for the Jews happened on Saturday. That's the Sabbath day.
Right.
Sunday was Monday for them. And it has become now the end of the weekend for us, but that's because of what's happening this week. That's why. It changed the whole world.
Yeah.
Even the simple things like our work weeks, that looks like.
I love it. Well, there's a few ways for you to worship with us this Holy Week. We've already mentioned it, but Good Friday, if you weren't planning on it, please join us for that Good Friday service. It is just incredible to remember and to sit in what the work Jesus did on the cross was. That's at 6:30 p.m. And then just a few days later, we are going to have our big celebration, which is Jesus's resurrection on Easter, with two services, 7:30 and 9:30. I was just about to ask you which one you're going to, and then you'll be at both, of course.
I will be there.
I will be there. We will be there. I think Sarah's leading worship and I'm playing bass. So we will be there for the whole morning. It's going to be just awesome. I love celebrating Easter with our church family. If you have any questions for us that you'd like tackled on the podcast, if you want to get connected, if there's any way that we can be praying for you, let us know. You can send us an email, connect@faithpeshtigo.com. Send us any messages on any of our socials, and we will do our best to get back to you. But as always, church, go in peace.